Hey, welcome back. This is Carlos Cavallo, and we are on Love Potion or Love Phase number 3, whichever way you'd like to think about it. What we've been presenting so far are what I call potions, but they've also been corresponding to the phases of the relationship that you want to get into with a man. And we're now in the third and final one, which is along the lines of commitment. Commitment and, well, of course, being faithful to you, right? And that's the big one for a lot of women because there seems to be such an epidemic or a problem with male faithfulness, but the reality is that both men and women cheat in relationships equally. I know this is going to be a shocker, but it's actually true. What we tend to hear more about are the stupid guys who just can't seem to control their libido, shall we say, and they very often go off seeking something else, more or less because they either don't have the capability or the maturity in a relationship, or they never really made a firm masculine decision to be in that relationship. I mean, really be in the relationship. And that's a distinction that is very difficult to get past a lot of guys who think that a relationship is simply about the sex. When they start to realize there's more to it, that they can create a more vibrant and powerful connection with a woman, then this faithfulness issue becomes less of an issue. And I'll talk about that briefly as well. So let's start with the commitment and faithfulness. And this is where, of course, many women run into problems. They've decided that they really feel a connection with the guy, right? But they get stressed out and emotional when he doesn't respond. And maybe they may wait for him to show signs that he also feels that connection. Many times he won't show these signs, even if he does feel a connection. Which is confusing, right? You want to be able to understand where he's coming from, what his mindset is, and what the possibilities are for the near future, and is this something you want to invest more energy in? Because you've probably got somewhere you want to go. You want to have that relationship. You may want to start a family. You may want to create something really strong and powerful with the guy, but you got to know he's in it with you just as much as you are. Now, very often, jealousy and mistrust typically follow. You find yourself awake at night, maybe worrying about what he's doing. What is he thinking is probably even more likely a concern for you because you're wondering, hey, is he thinking about me? Is he thinking about this relationship or is his mind elsewhere? The funny thing is, a lot of the women that I've talked to haven't all had men that had cheated on them per se, but they've had some experience with a guy that has kind of crossed the line. He's stepped out of bounds, if you will. He's started chatting maybe in a chat room with somebody, or maybe he's watching a little bit more porn than he used to, or maybe he's becoming flirtatious with a female coworker, or just kind of crossing those boundaries of acceptable behavior within a relationship that makes you wonder, hey, is he really in this with me? Is he thinking about it? He may not have gone the whole distance, if you will, of being unfaithful, but on some level, it seems like he's hedging around it. He's kind of playing with the concept a little, and that can be very disturbing. It is very disturbing. Your emotions get in the way of logic, and what happens is you basically lose control. And this is something that it's justified in many ways, but what it can do is it can actually poison any chance of making things work out or fixing things in the long run. Okay, because, again, you decide you got this connection, and then you start to wonder, gee, wait a minute, is he in it with me as much as I am? Your emotions start to panic a little bit, and you wonder, can I keep this thing together? Is he with me in this? And, you know, is this what's going on? And then your mind and your emotions start to run amok. Don't misplace your emotional energy. If you find yourself in this situation, don't focus on what you want him to do. Focus on what you can do to get him to act how you want. In other words, this is what I call the curling response, and I'll explain that in a minute here. What I want you to do is be able to spend your energy on the parts that you can control. Very often, women and a lot of people that I've coached, they are spending a lot of energy on things that they simply cannot control, that are not part of the equation, if you will, that don't serve them in any way. So what you've got to do is be able to spend your energy on the things that really do matter the most. And that's why this particular response of focusing on what you can do is really the best. And what I'm talking about here is there's this crazy sport called curling. If you're Canadian, you probably have heard of it. You may have heard of it I think it might even be the Olympics. I'm not entirely sure, but I think it is. It's a winter sport. It's done on ice. And it goes a little something like this, and forgive me if my knowledge of the exact details of how the sport is played is not entirely accurate, but what happens is one person pushes or sends a weight pushing across the ice. I don't know how much the weight is. It could be 10 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever. It's fairly heavy, and it's got some substantial mass and momentum to it. They start pushing this thing across the ice, heading towards the opponent's side and somehow heading to their goal or something. And the players, what they do is they have brooms to sweep at the ice, and their action of sweeping at the ice creates a slight depression, a slight dip in the ice, which then steers this weight in the direction that they're aiming for. Okay, now, I know it sounds crazy, especially as a sport, because you're like, geez, why couldn't they just tackle each other? And hockey would probably be a little bit more interesting, but not to bash you if curling is one of your favorite sports. The funny thing about this little analogy is that this is very close to how we really need to function within a relationship, although maybe with not quite as much work. What you're really doing within a relationship is you have this tremendous mass that is on that's moving on its own, and that is your relationship. It's already in motion. It's heading in the direction that it's already heading, and you're both along for the ride. Now, you have the ability to steer this, but you can't just turn it around on a dime. It's got weight. It's got momentum. It's got mass, inertia, and all that stuff. How do you get it to go in the direction that you want? Well, it's not by pushing on the relationship, not by getting out and pushing on this, you know, if the analogy is that you're in a car together with him, it's not by getting out, stepping out, and starting to try and push the car to the left or to the right, or even trying to grab at the steering wheel, because this particular relationship vehicle doesn't quite have the same kind of steering wheel you might be used to in a car. The way you steer this vehicle is really by putting the effort in to, if you will, brush at that ice, steer it by the energy you put into creating a path for it to fall into naturally on its own. So let's shift back to that clever little curling metaphor that I was trying to go for here. Instead of confusing you with a car, let's go back to the curling. They push this big weight across the ice. Well, how do you make that weight move if you're not allowed to touch it? Because that's one of the rules of curling. Well, the only way to really do it is to grab your broom and start furiously brushing at the ice and trying to create that little steering channel to get the weight or whatever it is you want to call it, the puck, the mega puck, to move in the direction that you want. The same thing is true in relationships. You can't directly act on the relationship. You can only put your energy into creating a groove that you both kind of fall into. It's kind of like setting things up to inevitably win for you. Like setting up dominoes. How would you set up dominoes in a way that if you knocked over the first one, the entire chain of dominoes would eventually fall over? Well, fairly simple, right? You'd set it up so they're close enough together. You'd create a few clever little tricky patterns. You probably wouldn't set them up straight in a line because that would be kind of boring. You may make them do some clever tricks like going up a hill or, you know, those little things. If you've ever watched one of those videos where all those dominoes fall over in sequence, it's really fascinating and kind of cool. So how would you do that in your own relationship so that you push over that first domino, get things kicked off, get that love started, and make sure that things go where you want them to go? By all means, all you, the only thing you can do is just line them up so that they fall the way you want them to fall. That's what we do as stewards of our relationships, and that's what you're doing right now if you're in a relationship now with a guy or you're potentially in one. So be careful about how you misplace your emotional energy. Don't use it on frustrated, panicked, oh my God, I'm losing control. Instead, what we do is we put it in the place that it needs to go. That's what we're really talking about with this particular love spell. A little reminder about independence. We've talked about that throughout this program. Keep your own identity. It's really one of the most important things I can possibly counsel you on and coach anybody on is the importance of keeping your own identity. It's even more important in a long-term relationship, which is what we're talking about in this phase, really. Something besides him that you can invest your emotions and energy in. That's really the major focus of a relationship, is not to get too caught up in the relationship. It sounds kind of contrary, but it's very true. You can't get caught up in the relationship, otherwise you lose sight of it. As they say, you lose the forest for the trees. You got to be able to keep them intrigued and get them to think about you when you're not around. Guess what does that? him knowing that you already have a momentum of your own. You already have inertia. You've already started pushing your little curling puck across the ice, and that's your life. Your life is already going in one direction. Now, if you abandon that and jump off of that and jump onto his boat, that just feels extremely needy to a guy, and it scares the hell out of him because he knows you're going to be too focused on him and the relationship to be able to, for him to be able to really enjoy it with you. He really wants to have fun. And I talk about this as one of the driving motivators of guys in many of my programs, especially Irresistible Desire and Forever Yours. I go through a complete explanation of all of a man's his drives, his desires, what it is he's looking for in a relationship are completely outlined in that program. So make sure you schedule that downtime, your own me time, every single week. And I mean that every week, if not a little bit each day even, is even better. Doing something alone or outside that you do, outside of your house preferably, but alone or with friends. It doesn't really matter, but again, not with him. Keep the hobbies you had when you were single. Maybe you like to go to spinning class every Thursday. Don't stop that just because he wants to see you on Thursday. That's still your me time. Don't abandon it. Here's a little tip. Plan your me time for early in the week. And then if something comes up, you'll still have time to reschedule. Okay? So if you do need to shuffle things around to accommodate your me time, by all means do. But you should put the same priority on your me time as you do on your we time. Okay? The time you spend with him should never be more important than the time you spend for yourself. And really, just a little bit of time management, a little bit of flexibility, and keeping that prioritization in your head is it really all it takes. Keep him on his toes. This is one bit of advice I'm sure you've probably heard before, but really, you got to keep a man on his toes. You got to keep him as engaged and ready to go as he was when he first met you all the way through the relationship. And that means to a great degree, and this is something that all women want, is maintain that spontaneity within the relationship. Because he's worried about the relationship getting boring and stale. And he's going to be, again, part of a ball and chain attached to you without any chance of doing the cool, interesting things he was doing when he was single. That's what all men want to avoid. They don't want the death of fun. That's what they see a lot of long-term relationships turning into. Their friends may encounter that. They may see their own family having done that. So he needs a new definition of a relationship that meets his criteria. So he's got to see things as being spontaneous and as interesting. One of the main ways to keep him interested is very simple. And this is to get him to think about you when you're not around. When you've achieved that, when you have gotten him to really know that to think about you randomly when you're not around, it's called crystallization, by the way. It's a psychological term that means he's still thinking about you, and when he's still thinking about you when you're not around, that's the time that love is actually created in our brains, in our hormonal system and in our brains. We do that automatically when we're thinking about the person outside of the context of actually being with them. Now, of course, it requires time with them, but at the same time, if you can do that, you're going to have no problem. And we're going to talk a little bit about that too. Convince him that you are spontaneous. Now, why is this one of the best tricks around? Okay. Number one, it keeps him thinking about you when you're not around. That's exactly what it does. When he thinks you're spontaneous, it keeps him on his toes. It keeps him thinking that anything could happen. It's like that. There's television shows now that have totally broken from the norm. It used to be you watch a television show and you had a fairly a certain understanding of who was going to live throughout that series. You know, the protagonist was going to live, other people were going to live. You just knew that no matter what peril they were put in, these core characters would never die. And it kind of stole a little bit of the fun out of it, if you ask me. That was the old school way of doing a television show. Now today, a lot of the shows don't have this anymore. I'll give you a case in point. There's this show, Walking Dead. It's a zombie apocalypse type show. It's tremendously emotionally exhausting for me because of the fact that you don't know who's going to live from week to week. Any character at any time could die, and they're constantly being put in peril. And I'm so emotionally engaged with that show because I care so much about these people and their plight and their dilemma. I can't stop watching it, and I even think about it when I'm not watching the show. That's the power that we're talking about here. When you can keep him in that same state of, I don't know what's going to happen next. She could show up. She could maybe cancel a date. She could, anything could happen. You know, she might jump on me and just jump on my back and want a piggyback ride, for all I know. These crazy things could happen at any moment. When that happens, he's automatically engaged in this process of thinking about you when you're not around. He can't help it. It's simply the way this factor works, and that's how you create that infatuation complex in men. Number two, showing him that you're spontaneous convinces him that you are not boring, the unboring kind. One of guys' biggest fears is, again, a boring relationship. Don't fall into that trap. Number three, it differentiates you from other women he might meet. This is a very rare trait. I really can't emphasize that enough to you. It's very rare that a woman will meet this criteria. You know what excites and surprises him just from being together with him. Use that knowledge to your advantage. You already know things that other women don't know, which gives you the upper hand. It gives you kind of an insurance clause against him stepping out or being unfaithful in most ways, if you know how to use it. Again, most women don't use it, so they unfortunately encounter problems with men. He won't be tempted to look elsewhere for his excitement if he's getting his excitement from you. Plain and simple, okay? The idea is that you can't chase more than one person in your romantic life at one time. You really can't. You may have tried to do it at one point or another. You may have had two guys in your life that you thought, I don't know who I should date. And if you've been lucky enough to have that, by all means, it's just one of those cool situations to be in. We call it a high-quality problem in my circle. But the reality is that no matter how good both those candidates are, they're never equal. There's always one that has more of your fascination, that has more of your interest, more of your desire. Okay, it happened to me whenever I was dating, and I was dating more than one woman several times, most of the time, because I knew I was in that mode of, geez, I got to find what it is I really want. Well, you can't do that for very long. You're going to settle on one of them, and you're going to want to pursue one. You're just naturally inclined to do that. Even men are inclined to do that. So he won't look elsewhere if he thinks that he's getting and he feels he's getting that spontaneity from you. Another way to keep him on his toes is unexpected affection. Give him affection when he doesn't expect it, okay? Give him affection when he doesn't expect it. Think of it as giving him small doses of affection, kind of like micro potions, if you will. Don't do it too regularly either. Again, reinforcement to be effective can't be too regular. Once or twice per week is enough for a long-term relationship. It really is. It doesn't take that much. Too much affection, you run the risk of smothering him. Too little, and of course, you run the risk of drying it out. So again, use it in the right amount. Some ways you can do this, very simple. Number one, come up behind him, kiss him on his neck or his ear. This is really effective for guys, I'll tell you from firsthand experience. Then go back to what you're doing like nothing had happened. That is a perfect example of the double message of, I love you, but I'm going to hold myself at arm's length for a little bit. You just drive me crazy. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't let that run wild. That conundrum, that dilemma of emotions works on both sides of the fence. It works for men and it works for women. We can't stand that thought of, wait a minute, how can they possibly do that? How can they resist? Well, you know, if they're so attracted to me, I gotta go back to that. You know, it's crazy how we think that way and how we respond to that emotionally. Number two, squeeze his hand in public. It doesn't have to be a hand-holding session, and actually it shouldn't, because that does it does ruin the effect when something is too regular and even just too long in terms of its application. It can kind of freak us out a little bit. So squeezing his hand in public is a good way of kind of giving that unexpected affection. Number three, give him a really deep kiss while you're watching TV together. I'm talking just totally out of the blue. He doesn't expect it or see it coming. And then break it off, go do some housework, some chores, change the channel, put on a game, whatever. Okay, that, again, the same conundrum of, I'm really, really into you, but no, I cannot, I must not, I will resist the temptation. Kind of sounds like a romance novel, doesn't it? And you wonder where that came from? It's because that little powerful dynamic is extremely effective on both men and women. Keep the sex wild. You probably got this impression from every Cosmo cover for the last 20 to 30 years, but it is very true. The sex is an important factor. You got to keep your sex life surprising. You got to keep it, again, spontaneous in a lot of ways. You know, when he's watching TV, come out and just take your clothes off if you have that luxury, if you're not living with anybody else, or even if you just come over to visit him. And then give them to him, give him the clothes, and then walk into the bedroom. I can guarantee you he will follow. Now, this is where most women fall into a particular cycle of self-doubt. They're like, oh, I could never do that because what if he didn't follow me? Oh, believe me, he will. And it's a risk you have to learn how to take effectively if you want to get your relationship up to that level. It's going to take a little bit of risk here and there, but it will pay off, I guarantee you, especially when he starts seeing these behaviors. He's going to have to respond to it. It's programmed into him, really. You're tapping into his primal vulnerabilities and his primal sexual triggers. He can't resist. That's the beauty of it. Make a crazy suggestion in public. You know, whisper in his ear that you're horny right now. Tell him that you want to find a place to have sex right now. A little risque possible public thing. Even if you don't do it, you can still tell him that you want to do that. Okay? Very effective. The vacation. What is the vacation? Well, plan something mundane for the weekend, whatever it might be. And then secretly, other than that plan, book a trip somewhere else. Maybe Las Vegas, maybe, I don't know, New York City, whatever it is. Maybe it's something that's fairly close by, not too far away to make it too much of a burdensome trip. And then don't tell them until the last minute. One of my girlfriends did this for me when we were going away, and I didn't even know it. It was my birthday, and what she did was she basically lined up a trip to Vegas. And I thought, oh, that's so cool, because I'd never been to Vegas. I'd always wanted to go. She knew I also had this little thing for Elvis, so we could go to the Elvis Museum, and it was just all this cool stuff, and she lined it up, and I was like, wow, that's very cool. Dinner with the in-laws. Now, dinner with the in-laws is one of those things that, well, first of all, you have to tell a little white lie, okay? And by that, I mean say something to the effect of, you know what, we have to go to dinner at my parents' tonight, okay? But really, what you're doing is planning to take them to a restaurant, or even a hotel for the night. You know, you could get some takeout Chinese food, and again, keep it a little bit interesting. Take them to a little side experience that's spontaneous and different. And not only may he might be relieved, I don't know, maybe he actually does enjoy your parents, but it'll also be a very cool thing because he won't expect it or see it coming, really. Little ways to keep him on his toes, okay? You can think of a billion more of these than I could ever give you in this program, but the point is to put the effort there, okay? To put some energy into it and execute on that plan. A lot of women I've coached have a belief or some, it's actually kind of a built-in thing that they seem to believe, that they need to wait for him to act and wait for him to make things happen. And what ends up happening is that both of them wind up being in a stalemate of inactivity. Each one is passive, looking for the other person to prove their love and do the things they want them to do. And then that will basically prove to them that the other person is really their soulmate, or this was meant to be. Or they're looking for this proof, but they won't ask for what the thing is that they want. As crazy as it is, this is, again, one of those natural psychological things about human beings. We don't want to have to ask, because if we had to ask, well, then it wouldn't prove anything. It would just be us asking, and then they'd be just like, okay, he said yes, but that doesn't prove anything. How do I know that he really wants to do it, right? All those little doubts come into your mind. Well, it takes a certain amount of activation energy, okay? Activation energy is a term from science, and it means basically the energy that starts off a reaction. Typically a chemical reaction of some kind. For that energy to be put into the system, or for any actually reaction to happen, you have to start it off with something, usually. You can't always just put two chemicals in a bottle and you get that, you know, that that carbon dioxide fog coming off the top like in the old monster movies. It doesn't work that way. What it requires is one or both people eventually to put up a little bit of risk, put up a little bit of energy, and show the other person what they're made of. And this is so rare for women to do this for men that you will immediately separate yourself from all other women the second you do any of these things. And I'm not saying you have to do these every single week or do them, do 10 of them or anything like that. It's one of those things you can do infrequently that just changes the playing field so much for your relationship. Under promise. A related trick is to what we call under promise and then overperform. Underpromise, overperform. This is a kind of a term from business. What it does is it turns something ordinary into something that he will think is special. There's many opportunities to do this. Okay? I'll give you an example here. Number one is a quiet dinner. A quiet dinner. What you do is you say you're going to pick up a frozen pizza or some fried chicken, then make or buy a meal with all his favorite foods. And have it set up for when he gets home. Okay? Don't do this when there's a possibility that he'll be tired when he gets home. Okay? You don't want one of those evenings where you know he's probably going to come home really exhausted from work or whatever it is. Maybe he took the day to go play paintball with his friends for all day and he's going to come home battered, bruised, and exhausted. You don't want that. But you do want to set up a time when he can be responsive and appreciative and not necessarily totally drained and exhausted. Okay? Again, it's a little way to set up expectations at a very low level and then totally blow them away with the actual result. That is very, very mesmerizing to a man. Number two is box seats. Get tickets to a ball game. Okay? Maybe he's into baseball. Maybe he's into football. Whatever it may be. Hopefully something that you two can share in terms of your enthusiasm. Buy some great seats for him, but don't tell him. Let him discover the great seats for himself as you show up. You know, you take him to what he expects to be maybe some nosebleed seats way up in the upper deck, but it turns out to be really cool box seats down by the home team's pen, or you know, even out to the side of the first base, or whatever it is that's just a really cool seating arrangement. You get it set up that way. It doesn't even have to be a sports ticket situation. It could be anything that he would really be excited to go see. Could be a great movie. Could be, I think IMAX movies now actually have reserved seating, which is kind of cool. As long as he doesn't know the quality of the experience beforehand, and you can over-deliver on that experience when it comes time to actually doing it. Like maybe you tell him, hey, you know what? I had this idea that we could take this cool driving class. It's just something really cool I always wanted to do, is learn to drive these cool cars. And you don't even have to tell him what it is. And you might even tell him, hey, you know what? It's a go-kart thing. But then what you really do is you take him to a racetrack where he gets to actually race a real race car, NASCAR or a kart or something like that. That sort of thing is very, very cool because it's like, whoa, you totally shattered my expectations. And it falls in line with that spontaneity and, again, keeping him on his toes, right? Another example of this would be, let's say, a night in bed. There's a rule for every phase of a relationship, and that is don't ever promise him great sex, okay? Don't promise him a great blowjob or five orgasms in one night, okay? Because what that does is it puts undue pressure on you to perform, and he will be expecting much more than you can ever deliver. And there's a good chance he'll just end up disappointed. So what have you done? You've overpromised and underdelivered, which is exactly the opposite of what you want to do. That's why you never, ever have to overpromise when it comes to sex. Don't do that. Instead, don't promise anything. You can even make a self-deprecating comment, something along the lines of, you know what, I'm not exactly the best kisser, or, well, you're going to have to show me how to. But then what happens is, he gets to be impressed when you, what, overperform. And again, we're treading the fine line here of that fear that many women have of being perceived as slutty in some way. No, not at all. Not when it comes to the bedroom with a woman that we are in a relationship with. If you can outperform and overperform there, he's not going to question it. He's going to be ecstatic and just overwhelmed and happy. He might even think that the sex is actually better than it actually was, okay? That's what it comes down to in a lot of ways. Sometimes just showing up with something a little unexpected, maybe a little flavored lubricant, something to kind of make things a little different and interesting. But again, the goal is to set up the underpromise and then overdeliver or overperform. Do it at random times. Never, ever adopt a pattern. Okay, you don't want to appear too predictable. Don't say, you know what, I'm going to do something for him every weekend. Like I was saying, it's just not a good idea. Once in a while is fine. Otherwise, he's going to expect it. And when it creates a pattern like that, it's going to defeat the point of doing it in the first place. The way that they train animals in those aquatic parks and zoos and things like that, or anywhere they do any kind of animal training, the way they do that is done through what they call infrequent reinforcement or irregular reinforcement. What they do is they don't actually give the animal a treat every single time it does something. You see, if they gave the animal a treat every single time he did the trick, then what happens is the animal starts to expect it and stops doing the trick. He just expects the treat. He skips over that expectation moment. He has no incentive to perform. Whereas if they give it to him every so often, well, then the animal performs because he never knows when it's coming. So he knows he's got to perform if he stands any chance of getting it. He doesn't know which one it's going to be, but he's got to do it to get it. And that is how they actually train a lot of those animals. So keep that in mind. Human beings are just a little bit more smarter animals, and some would argue maybe not quite as smart in some ways. That's how you can really keep him engaged. Be random. Don't let yourself fall into patterns, okay? Patterns are interpreted as boring, whereas randomness is interpreted as spontaneous, cool, and fun. Other men in your life, oh my gosh, what is he talking about here? Don't overtly flirt with other men. At this point, it's enough for him to know that you are around other guys, okay? But again, you can express or show your, you can't be expected to never talk to other guys, right? So at the same time, you can use that to your advantage. In other words, number one, you could talk to some guy from work or from class the next time he comes to pick you up. Maybe you're taking some class and you're just talking to some guy that you met there. Or, you know, don't shy away from taking any chance to make a harmless comment to an attractive guy when you're out together. Okay, maybe you spot some guy that's fairly attractive and you find some reason that you could say something to him. I've had girlfriends that do this, by the way, and the way they've done it has always been tasteful, and it's always done the right thing, which is make me go, hey, rah, rah, and you know, your chest puffs up. I gotta show this guy that I'm her guy. Now, that is constructive use of what we would normally call, quote-unquote, jealousy. But it's not really jealousy. It's really just us having to deal with our own insecurities, our own emotions, whatever they may be, and there is really nothing wrong with that. Some people would argue that that's manipulation, and it's not, because in reality, you should be doing this anyways. You should be finding reasons to engage and talk to people all the time, just to be a friendly person, just to be outgoing and a little bit gregarious, maybe, but not necessarily extroverted if you're an introvert. You don't have to be totally out there, but you should be connecting with people. You should be reaching out beyond yourself and making those connections with other people. It makes you feel more a part of the world, and it also makes you feel a lot less needy when it comes to relationships. You can take it from me on that one. It really does work very well. And you want to be able to feel like you're appreciated and needed as well. And if he thinks you're flirting, if he thinks that there's a possibility that you are cheating, he may use it as an excuse to cheat himself, which is why you never want to go too far with this, right? But we're not. We're never going that far with it. We're never pushing the envelope there. Your two goals are very simple. Number one, make him realize that he still needs to make an effort to be with you. All right? He needs to make an effort with you to be with you. Other guys who are around could move in if he doesn't try hard enough. He's got to have incentive to keep jumping over that bar, right? Raise the bar a little bit, make him jump over it. This is a good form of incentivization. We need to grow. As human beings, we have to be going beyond our current limitations and our own comfort zones to feel like we're really accomplishing anything. Okay? It really is. It's one of those things, especially with men. We have to. And a relationship is quite honestly one of those great places where you get to do it. He can step up to the plate. He can man up, if you will. And he can do what he needs to do and realize that, you know what? Maybe he does stand a chance of losing you if he doesn't work his ass off a little bit every now and then. That's a positive thing in a relationship, because you don't want the guy that's the opposite of that. You don't want the guy that thinks that he doesn't have to do a damn thing to keep you interested. Because guess what? He won't do a damn thing to keep you interested. And number two, your second goal is to show him that you still have value to other men. Other men appreciate you. Other guys still want to talk to you. They want to be around you. Yeah, they may even want to sleep with you. And that's something he's got to deal with, because that's life, right? You've got to deal with the fact that he wants to sleep and think about sleeping with other women. He won't actually do it necessarily, and probably won't, as long as things stay healthy between you. But ultimately, guess what? You're on the other side of that equation. You deserve that appreciation as well. And again, I'm going to have to repeat this. I have said it probably in every segment, looks still matter. It's very important that you acknowledge the reality of visual influence on men and their sexuality. Mind the gap, as they say in the UK tube system. He still needs to find you attractive, right? He still needs to find you sexy. He still needs to find other... He still finds other women attractive, even if he doesn't act on the attraction, which most guys actually don't. Okay, he's always going to be looking around and seeing other women and appreciating them visually. He will compare other women to you. It's just going to happen. The same way you're going to eventually psychologically compare him to other men. It will happen. It's unavoidable. But you don't always have to be the hottest woman in the room, right? You never have to be, in fact. You do have to be aware, however, of the gap between you and other women, all right? The gap between you and other women. In other words, the gap between your level of attractiveness, hotness, if you will. If there is too much of an attractiveness gap, he will notice it and be tempted to pursue somebody more attractive if only he sees that there seems to be this huge gap. But if there's only a slight gap or a marginal gap, which quite honestly is one of the easiest things to maintain, there's not that much difference in physical beauty, quite honestly. If you stay fit, if you take care of yourself, if you pay attention to your fashion, there's not that much difference in terms of the gap. In fact, what I've seen very often is that some very attractive women definitely fall down when it comes to the fashion or how they dress aspect, and they come across as not being attractive simply because they're not really paying attention to it, or they're overworking it, or they're trying to be too sexy or too sexual. So he will notice that gap, and that's the most important thing you need to remember, is that as long as you keep the gap fairly small, it won't matter who's on which side of that gap. But when the gap gets too big, that's when he takes more notice of it and starts to go, wait a minute, what's going on here? It's easy to overcome the attractiveness gap simply by sticking to the fundamentals. All right, keep fit with diet and exercise. Very easy to do. Okay, you should have some sort of health club membership of some kind. Show him that you care how you look. Put the effort in. That's really all he really needs, is the effort. Keep your fashions current and always have something new to wear for him. Okay, which probably isn't, it's probably not a hard thing for you to do, right? You're probably always shopping for cool new clothes and whatnot, but always have something new to wear for him is the operative phrase there. If you're just buying clothes for yourself, well, that's okay. But as long as you can turn it around into, you got that something special something for him. Be a lady and be feminine. The third and final most important thing is to be a woman, to be feminine. Spend time on choosing a perfume. Okay, don't just go with whatever the lady at the counter told you you should put on. You know, there's really good perfumes, and the best perfumes, actually, when you put them on, react a little bit to your skin chemistry and your pheromone signature and gives off a unique scent. So spend a little time on choosing the perfumes. Don't put too much on. God, I wish I could tell this to more women. They put too much on. You do. I know you want to be noticed, but that's not the way you want to have them notice you. Do your nails and makeup when you go out every time. Every time, do your nails and a little bit of makeup when you go out. It doesn't have to be extravagant. Don't have to spend hours doing it, but just a little bit to make yourself presentable. Don't go out in yoga pants or exercise pants with slutty on the butt or whatever some of these. I don't know, they don't wear those anymore, but you get my point. Put a little bit of thought into what you're wearing when you go out. My wife does that, and it stands out. You know, in the morning, I've said, hey, where are you going today? She's like, nowhere. Just going to take Kez to the school. That's our son. And I'm like, really? You're dressing up like that just to go? And I'm like, oh, cool. And it kind of raises my interest level again. It's like, wow, she cares about how she looks. And that's all that we really are looking for. Find fashions that fit your current body type. Okay, don't do what I see some very, let's just say, slightly tragic examples of this in many places, where women are maybe have a few extra pounds, but they want to avoid that, or they want to go into denial about that, and they start wearing things that are for somebody that don't that are a few pounds slimmer than that, and they end up look like they're packed in like a sausage into their clothes. Don't do that. Heavier women look very attractive as long as they're wearing clothes that fit them appropriately. There's nothing wrong with a few extra pounds. In fact, it's actually one of the things that men want more of, but you would never know. Because all the women's magazines cater to, you guessed it, women, and somehow and how they appear and how they they basically challenge each other to appear in many ways. But that's a whole political other thing we're not going to cover in this program, okay? Anyway, there you go. That is love phase number 3, and we're talking about commitment and faithfulness and the long-term relationship in getting him to keep him on his toes, how to keep yourself independent and interesting to him in the process of doing that, and look as though and feel as though you still matter to other men and that you're still attractive to other men, because that is still very, very important. Okay, join me in the next video for the conclusion of the program, where we're going to wrap up some of these threads.